Welcome to Session 40. A very special welcome to Session 40, our very last session of the Chrysalis Effect Recovery Pathway. However, if you're still struggling in any way with your symptoms, please don't worry. This simply means that you are now in possession of everything you need to recover from your symptoms. You may want to revisit previous sections for a whole variety of reasons before you are fully well again, alongside having access to all the support and the webinars that will have got you this far. Now, you may be wondering, why would I need to go back and revisit an earlier session? Surely if I finished the whole program, then that should be it, shouldn't it? For some people, it is. And by this stage, they are extremely well and have what they need to maintain their newly energized life. For others, it takes a little longer. So, to explain why, I want to share some valuable experience of the recovery process. Do you remember, right back at the beginning, we explained how recovery from fatigue and pain-related illness could be compared to peeling an onion? Years of working closely with countless patients and clients through their recovery from multifaceted symptoms has shown us that there is no shortcut to peeling away the layers that have contributed to your ill health. To tackle sleep problems, fatigue, brain fog, digestive issues, depression, pain, neurological problems, anxiety, hormone imbalances, we know the list goes on and on. There never was going to be one thing in isolation that culminated in all of that complexity of interrelated symptoms. We know how all of those eight areas of the wheel affect each other. We also know that our childhood, our genetic predisposition, our personality, biochemistry, life events, experiences, and beliefs all contribute to the state of our health. So, your recovery is as unique as your life journey so far. In this session, you will be completed a 9-month health profile review, so you can assess where your recovery is at this point. Your Chrysalis Effect journey has been a gradual process of unearthing the links and contributory factors to reveal what has caused your health to break down. It is that awareness that helps you to know what needs to be addressed next for you to regain health. The difficulty is that we have to be fully ready to address the potential underlying causes, and this readiness point is not the same for everyone. So, even if the causes are quite clear, if someone is not ready, the brain will automatically skip over it and reject it out of hand. None of us mean to do it. Actually, it's the brain doing what it does naturally in an unconscious process called deletion, distortion, and generalization. The brain, in order to save time, will notice things that fit in with what it believes to be true or relevant, and will delete anything it deems not to be appropriate. This is how our brains cope with the amount of information they're bombarded with. That is how our brains cope with the amount of information that they're bombarded with. So, as you read or listen to each of the sessions of this pathway, that process of deleting, distorting, or generalizing information will have been happening quite unconsciously. That's why it's very common, usually, for a person who has had chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia pain for decades to have developed beliefs that their illness is permanent and requires a medicine to cure it. They will often be very knowledgeable about the latest biomedical research and drug trials, and will hone in on the failure of the medical profession to produce a cure. This underpins their total conviction that they will stay ill until a cure is found. When the word recovery is mentioned, the brain will immediately delete and distort any evidence that recovery is possible, because what occurs is cognitive dissonance. There is a mismatch between what the brain has historic beliefs and evidence for, and it will delete it. On the other hand, People who recover have no such belief. Their brain searches for every shred of evidence that people can get well, and their focus is different. What happens, though, is that in the process of their recovery journey, there will be sticking points. This is often when something that they're not ready to change crops up as a contributing factor. So the brain merrily deletes it or dismisses its importance. The thought pattern the brain produces is something like, this might be true for others, but not for me, because of X, Y, or Z. To illustrate this, Elaine shares her experience. She says, when I had been ill for about a year, I had been in the denial phase for a very long time. Two or three people had told me that I had to stop work in order to fully get better. I refused. I told them that my illness had nothing to do with my job and that I had caught a virus that attacked my muscles and nervous system. I would not even consider what they were saying without getting angry and upset. So I kept on resting and then returning to the same stressors. And I did this until I literally collapsed. At that point, you would think that I would listen and admit that possibly my job and its demands had played a part, wouldn't you? But no. I still laid in bed driving myself mad, trying to come up with a way I could still work. I could not envisage just stopping and saying, that's it, I can't do this anymore. Instead, I fought and fought anyone that tried to tell me what was best. All I could think about was how I would let people down. We would not manage without my income, and I couldn't lose what I had built up. How could I lose everything when I had worked so hard? The following little story really highlights the phenomena Elaine explains and shows us that when we feel despair, we can't see the whole picture. The only survivor of a shipwreck was washed up on a small uninhabited island. He prayed feverishly for God to rescue him, and every day he scanned the horizon for help, but none seemed forthcoming. Eventually, he managed to build a little hut of driftwood to protect him from the elements and to store his few possessions. But then one day, after scavenging for food, he arrived home to find his little hut in flames, smoke rolling up to the sky. The worst had happened. Everything was lost. He was stunned with grief and anger. God, how could you do this to me? He cried. Early next morning, however, he was awakened by the sound of a ship that was approaching the island. It had come to rescue him. How did you know I was here? Asked the weary man of his rescuers. We saw your smoke signal, they replied. It's very easy to get discouraged when things are going badly, but we shouldn't lose heart, because the universe, God, or our higher power is at work in our lives, even in the midst of all of the pain and suffering. So remember, next time your little heart is burning to the ground, it just may be a smoke signal that summons the help or change you need. Elaine eventually got to a place where she could hear the truth. She says, illness forced me to stop and be with myself for a very long period of time. I just kept fighting against changing anything. And at a very deep level, I was yearning to be free of the overwhelming lifestyle, but I could not even contemplate it. Illness was exactly what I needed. It was the only way I would have had the space to allow the truth to surface. As the layers peeled away, I cried and cried until finally I could be open to the wisdom of my body. Years have passed now, and I can see even more clearly that without my falling ill, I would never have been able to write this pathway, help others, and ultimately transform the approach to these types of illnesses. So, what about you? When you have succumbed to a health breakdown of this magnitude, it will come as no surprise that the journey to regain your vitality is only part of the story. Once you are well, it will require a commitment to yourself to prevent this from ever happening again. According to Einstein, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. This perfectly describes a relapse and remission cycle that some people get stuck in for years. It is simply a clear indication that there are some changes required that have not yet been made. When people are first ill, they say, "I just want to get my life back," as though we are going to go back to the way things were before. However, once recovered, you will have a completely different appreciation of what creates your well-being and how vital it is to honour it. So nothing will be quite the same again, and that is a good thing. There will need to be vigilance on your part to ensure that your lifestyle is balanced and that you take care of yourself physically and emotionally. The easy way to do this is to use the 8 elements of freedom wheel and revisit it frequently as a checkpoint to see how you are at any one time. If you're already familiar with this from one of our live workshops or from working with a recovery coach, that's great. This session will be a perfect check-in mechanism for you to use as often as you need. Ensuring that you're taking care of each of these areas will become a very important part of your life if you are to regain and maintain health. We have also indexed each element of the wheel with the sessions that each area addresses specifically. Let's say you are still struggling with some symptoms that deplete and fatigue you, and you can't quite pinpoint what's causing it. You know your diet is perfect, so it isn't nutrition. You love your home, so you are happy in your environment. You're going to yoga and walking regularly, so you know your movement is taken care of. You're supporting your adrenals and thyroids with natural supplements, so your endocrine system is fine. So what could be causing you this problem? Well, straight away, that reduces the areas you need to tackle down to 4 areas. If you know you love your job, then you can eliminate that one. If not, start with the life purpose sessions and see if you're willing to take more of it on board this time. It really will be a process of elimination until you get to know you and your body so well that all of this becomes internalized and easy to keep a handle on. If you know you're not quite fully well yet, it's the perfect time to set a 3-month plan of reviewing. Jot down in your diary which sessions of the chrysalis effect you know you need to revisit. There's a handy table in your downloads this week, highlighting each area of the wheel and which number sessions you can revisit. For example, if you still need to improve nutrition, then the table will highlight sessions 7, 11, 21, and 27. You could also focus on the nutrition webinars in your additional resources. Chrysalis Effect Practitioner Coaching Support. We have trained Chrysalis Effect practitioners who understand this program fully. They are experts in coaching and are practitioners who can give you one-to-one support as you work through the sessions or wish to revisit it in a very focused way. They can advise on which sessions will be most appropriate for you and in what order. They can literally tailor everything to exactly where you are right now. Now you are aware of the brain's trick of deleting, distorting, and generalizing. Notice when you revisit your sessions how you begin to hear or read things that you've not noticed before. You may feel inclined to do an exercise you skipped over or didn't take seriously the first time around. You really are a detective searching for the answers to your unique combination lock of health. Remember, the things that cause your body to react or feel below par are your individual stressors, and they can come in many forms. We have talked about how crucial it is to be totally honest with yourself about what yours are. This is a short list of typical stressors that recoverers have realized have stopped them from regaining health fully. Money worries, long-haul travel, sugary foods, processed food, arguments or experiencing disrespect with family members, not being happy at work, loneliness, fear of going back out into the world, taking on too many responsibilities, having a demanding or dismissive friend or partner, a resistance to integrating any movement or exercise, hating where you live. What can happen is that we take certain stressors in our stride while others have a much bigger impact than you realize. Your job is to know yourself and recognize which things affect you instantly and which ones have a delayed effect. You know yourself better than anyone. It's just as sometimes we ignore the stressors, believing that there is nothing we can do about them, when actually it is vital that we actively eliminate those stressors that compromise your health issues. Why do we ignore or resist accepting how much our stresses impact us? This is a great question, and the magic word that unlocks it is comparison. We compare how we are now to how we used to be. We remember a time when we could deal with all of those things and still fit in 3 jobs and a full social life. This is something you have to let go of. Yes, you may have been Superman or Superwoman, but look what it did to you. The other way we use comparison is by looking at what others can seemingly cope easily with. The golden rule here is to never compare how things were to how they are now, and even more importantly, never compare what you can do to that of another person. This is your life and your constitution. What works well for a friend or relative may be terrible for you. You will have individual physical capacities as well as unique qualities and skills that the other person does not have. Here are some top tips that have been life-changing for recovery. Remove "I used to be able to" from your vocabulary. Realistic expectations. Being realistic about expectations of the self is crucial. When the body breaks down so catastrophically, there may have been a little residual damage done. You may be very aware that things are not the same as they once were. It takes a while to accept this and adjust to your new way of being. It doesn't mean you are still ill. It simply means that you are in touch with your body and you listen to it. Let's give some examples here. Elaine says, "When I return to work, I noticed that my recall of words and names of things and people was affected. At first, I was embarrassed and worried that people would think I was stupid. I learned strategies that helped me. I would write more notes than I used to, and I would use colours in my training notes to help my brain remember. I would prepare flip charts in advance with the initials or the words I needed. And I would ask delegates I was training, what is the word I'm looking for? And they would oblige. And then I stopped feeling embarrassed when I realised that they were fine with it. I could have let my fears and embarrassment stop me from returning to the training room, and that would have been awful because it is what I love doing. I also realised that I only knew what I used to be able to do, so I accepted my new strategies and stopped beating myself up. It took me a while to rebuild my confidence, but I'm so glad I did." Residual limitations may need to be accepted and planned for. Recall of words or facts. Working memory may be affected, especially when you are tired. Don't push yourself when you're tired. Stop and rest. Write things down. Night driving or long drives exhaust you. If this becomes challenging, plan travel by train so you can read or relax. You probably always felt like this sometimes, but push through. Limit early starts and late nights. If you know that too many early starts or late nights affect you, plan your week to compensate. If you know you have a very early start or late finish for a couple of days, plan some free days in between. Never try and do both on the same day, unless you have a PJ day the next day. A PJ day is pajama or duvet day. This is something that Oprah Winfrey does regularly, and it doesn't stop her from being super successful. Loud noises. If you now find you're intolerant to loud, noisy environments, then avoid them as much as you can, or get earplugs. If you get caught out because friends have booked the event, plan for a quiet time afterwards to give yourself time to recover. Parking cars. If your spatial awareness is affected, try to space you're happy to park in with lots of room. Focus your brain. It's much better to write a list and do one thing at a time, as multitasking is bad for all of us and can be much more exhausting than you realise. Drinking alcohol. This is one of those that suffers from comparisonitis. Some people have high tolerance to alcohol. In actual fact, this is not a good thing because it's been proven that those who do are more likely to go on to develop alcohol dependence. It's normal for people who've recovered from fatigue-related illness to have a low tolerance from alcohol. This can be annoying, but will be a trial and error thing. And when you are fully well, you may find a drink that you can tolerate a small amount of and stick to that. Or it may take years to build up any tolerance at all. If you're having instant headaches or feeling exhausted a couple of days after drinking, then your body is giving you a very clear message to avoid it, because it is literally a poison for your body. In this case, you need to either abstain or know that it will have that effect on you. There are some fantastic alcohol-free alternatives now. Remember, for every problem, there will be a solution. And always focus on what you can do rather than what you can't. Allow extra time. If you're no longer able to pack as much into a day, learn how to structure your time to suit your body and build in days when you have nothing planned so you can just do whatever you feel like, because it's a great habit to get into. Resist impulsive actions or requests. If someone is pressurizing you to do something you don't want to do, say no. Color-coding plan for health and balance. In the early days of relearning how to conserve energy, it's really useful to use a weekly plan sheet with a color coding. For example, work time could be green, movement and exercise yellow, family time blue, me time and relaxation pink or turquoise, housework, shopping, gardening, DIY, etc., orange. Socialising, red. Chrysalis effect, wellbeing time, or recovery sessions, purple. There is a template for this in your wellbeing exercises this week. You could add the colours to suit your own specific lifestyle and print off a sheet for each week from the wellbeing exercises or colour code of your diary. You can add the colours to suit your own specific lifestyle and print off a sheet for each week from the wellbeing exercises or colour code your diary. Once you begin to plan, it is essential to build in time for your own wellbeing habits or rituals. These are simply the things that you need in order to make time for you to maintain your wellbeing. The trap most people fall into once they are well is to stop doing the things that help them regain their vitality. It's like going to a weight loss class, losing all the excess weight, and then going back to old eating habits. We all know that the weight will pile back on. That's why when people reach their target weight, they follow a maintenance plan to maintain a desirable weight. Here, then, is your maintenance plan that you'll need to incorporate if you are to remain healthy and not relapse. You will become very selective about where you invest your time. Top tip. An important point is to take no notice of what other people think about your health regimen. They did not go through what you have, and so they will never be able to advise you. Review your progress regularly and stay aware of just how well you are doing. There is a great progress letter in the wellbeing exercises this week to help you with this. Taking care of our wellbeing is lifelong. You will have learned so much through your recovery, so it will be easy to develop your own long-term maintenance daily well-being ritual. You will have learned so much through your recovery, so it will be easy to develop your own long-term maintenance daily well-being ritual. Here's an example of one that works really well. Write your morning pages or journal at a time to suit you. Ideal is a minimum of 20 minutes per day 3 to 7 times per week. This keeps your mind free from clutter and worry and ignites your creativity. Gratitude is good for you. As you write, start and end the day by going through all of the things you're grateful to have in your life. Watch the film Pollyanna, as it's brilliant at helping us to see the importance of being grateful. Meditate or listen to a guided meditation between 10 minutes to 1 hour per day. This will keep you relaxed and centered, alleviating a tendency towards anxiety and overwhelm. Mark Twain was right when he encouraged us to drag your thoughts away from troubles, by the ears, by the heels, or by any other way you can manage it. Listen to inspiring audios. Revisit recovery interviews or expert interviews that will inspire you when you need help. There are also many free inspirational podcasts on the internet. Tara Brach or Jonathan Force have lovely voices and very inspirational content for self-care and the inner journey to self-love. You will be replacing any negative thought patterns with positive ones, and what we think about, we bring about. Take your supplements. Nutritional supplementation is there to support your ongoing well-being. Make sure you get advice and check in with your nutritionist regularly to monitor any changes. Meal planning. Plan your menu and organise food to take out and about with you so that you can avoid grabbing processed food. Diarise your yoga, Pilates, or whatever movement you love doing twice a week minimum. Walk in nature daily or as much as you can for a minimum of 20 to 30 minutes a day. The benefits are just wonderful, as according to Friedrich Nietzsche, all truly great thoughts are conceived by walking. Fun. Outings and get-togethers are important, so arrange them well ahead. Avoid watching or listening to the news before bedtime, or at all if it affects you negatively. Make sure you watch funny videos or TV programs regularly, because as Victor Hugo once remarked, laughter is the sun that drives winter from the face. Reading. What do you love reading about? Incorporate some reading into your day or week that helps you grow. We have suggested many books on this pathway, and today we have added some more. Books have the power to open our mind and transform our thoughts. It was Mahatma Gandhi who told us, "A man is but the product of his thoughts. What he thinks, he becomes." Change your environment. Did you realise that the brain links the rooms you spend time in to how you feel? That's why colours and layouts of rooms feel pleasant or alien to us. If you have been ill in your home, then you'll need to change furniture around and perhaps redecorate, because your physiology will be affected by the memories of being ill in those rooms. Get rid of things that remind you of illness. Put up new photos. And do what you can to have a fresh start to change the way the environment affects your brain so it doesn't link it to illness. This may sound like a lot of time to dedicate to developing a ritual to honour your well-being, especially if you've not done any of these things before you lost your health. It will become as normal as breathing after a while. And there is an easy-to-use checklist in the well-being exercises to help you create and monitor your ritual. Accepting the fact that you need to look after yourself carefully might engender a bit of resentment from time to time. This is when the Serenity Prayer is helpful. If you do not like the word God, then replace it with universe or nature or whatever works for you. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. The courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now you are taking care of yourself on a weekly and daily basis, it is important to have a clear vision that will really motivate you to keep your commitment to staying well. We've talked about vision throughout this pathway. You know that if you ever have a barren patch of garden and you just leave it alone, then things will grow in it, but they may not be to your liking. That's why gardeners start with an image of how they'd like their garden to look in months and years from now. This is creating a vision. What will your life look like in 3 months, 1 year, or 5 years' time? If you can take time each day to nurture your health, wealth, and imagination, you can create a compelling, joyful, healthy future. Conversely, what will it look like if you don't take the time to nurture yourself each day? What if you just drift along and let your entire daily steps slip so that you neglect your own well-being? When you are excited about writing a book, buying a property by the sea, or studying a new subject, or whatever floats your boat, you will feel motivated and energized. It's a human need to be expanding our lives. We are here to experience things, so begin to look at your wheel and study each area. What plans and goals would you get excited about? Your life is a blank canvas. Every day and today, you can make a new plan and begin working towards it. Setting goals is fun. Choose some simple ones like, I will read The Alchemist by the end of this month. Set some audacious ones that stretch you. Goals. I will visit my best friend in Thailand within 18 months. I will start my own business within the next 3 years. Whatever you choose, it must be something that you can put a deadline on, and then break it down into some very small steps that you can begin to take, and then put a deadline on each step. If you were planning a trip to Thailand, what's the first thing you would need to do? And then you will probably end up with a list of things to do and dates you will need to do them by in order of priority. Then you need to tell someone about your goal. Someone who is an encourager, not someone who tells you you can't or shouldn't do it. Our recovery coaches are wonderful at this. Check out the practitioner directory and contact us to see who would be a great coach to help you design your new life. If this experience has prompted you to want to become a Chrysalis Effect practitioner to help others, we have a bursary program and would love to hear from you. It's so important to create future plans and goals. Viktor Frankl, in his work Man's Search for Meaning, observed how much better people coped in a concentration camp during the war when they talked about their plans for when they were free. Those that succumbed to despair were not as well and usually died much quicker. Hitting lows is a normal part of life. What do you do if you hit a low for 1 or 2 days consecutively? Know what helps to cheer you up and do those things right away. Accept that we all have down times and you will feel better soon. As you revisit sessions, you will also receive our Wellbeing Graduate Program that's designed to offer ongoing support as you go forward for as long as you need us. And finally, we feel privileged to have been a part of your healing journey. Congratulations for completing session 40. You are a very special part of the Chrysalis Effect community. Your participation in this recovery pathway has, and will continue to, contribute to a global shift in the attitude and beliefs in chronic pain and exhaustive conditions. Together, we are pioneering and providing recovery-focused services, transforming the healthcare model. Thank you for believing in us and yourself enough to follow this through. Because it's vital that we help others see that CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID do not have to be a life sentence. In fact, it's a second chance to start over and honour our bodies and our minds so that we can live vibrantly and healthily in a world that could overwhelm us until we lose who we are. This journey was always about you taking the time you needed inside that chrysalis to rest and learn so that a transformation could take place. Please acknowledge and honour yourself for every step you have taken. We are here to support you for as long as you need it. If you are fully well and ready to unfurl your wings and fly, please stay in touch via the Chrysalis Effect Forum. We would love to hear how you're doing as you live your life beyond recovery.